And I want to share with you guys this morning. Again, we're in the season of Advent. And as I shared, this week is about love. And yesterday, we said goodbye to a friend, to Rochelle Reiners. And when I think about funerals, I talked to different pastors and I asked them, what do you like to do more, a wedding or a funeral? And funny thing was their answer, they said funerals. And I said, why? And why do you like to do funerals more than weddings? And he said, you know, weddings are great and they're loving times and filled with joy, but at a funeral, we really think about the fact that our life is only a breath. It's fleeting. It's only a moment. And we have an opportunity for people to come into a church. I've had a couple guys say, I hope I don't get struck by lightning being in here. I hope your roof doesn't fall in on me because I walked in here. I'm glad we got people like that coming into our church. Because they need to hear about the love of Jesus. They need to know about a Savior who really saves and really cares about them deeply. They need to know that the resurrection took place, that Jesus rose from the dead, and if that took place, that changes everything. Changes how we live, changes how we have relationship with people. It changes how we work in our workplace. It changes everything. I saw a lot of love yesterday. Love that was making a dish to share. There's so many here that have blessed my family, by the way, that have made dishes for us, and we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts. That, you know, I am not the greatest cook, I'll admit it. I can make a mean fruit salad, okay? All right. Follow my grandma's recipe, but I'm not the best cook in the world. And just having the church family come alongside of us was such a blessing. And in the midst of that, you guys made food for the tea. Thank you for that. Food for the funeral, the memorial service. I mean, that's just, that's love. That's love when we do those things. Love was making a dish to share, or love was being here and washing dishes, right? That's what love looks like. You know, you can show love to your spouse by washing the dishes. You can show love to a family member on Thanksgiving or Christmas by picking up stuff and vacuuming or moving things around and trying to help out by saying a kind word. We think of that a lot of times, the encouragement. A lot of it is quality time, right? In a world that's just go, 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 go. Actually sitting down, whether it's for a meal, around a table on Christmas, or it's just quality time saying, I just want to be with you. I just want to spend time with you. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? Emmanuel, God with us. He came and he dwelt among us. He spent quality time with the disciples. He lived with them. He ate with them. He slept every day in the same place with them as they traveled. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it doesn't dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And I think of my own life, and I think, wow, I have failed this love test so many times. I've been impatient. I've been downright mean. I've wanted what other people had. I've said, ha, I won, you lost. Right? I've blown my top before. I've brought up wrongs family members have done to me in the past with an avalanche of accusations. This list, though, in 1 Corinthians 13, it's not a love test. Not a love test. It's not in the Bible so we can rate ourselves just like I did. This passage speaks of what real love is, what it should be. What it should be and who Christ is. It's his character. It's the way he does things. It's a calling to us not to be better on our own and through our own willpower, but instead to be transformed by love. To be transformed by love. In my life, I've gone through moments where I really hated the world. I was hurt. I felt so broken. And in those years, I really came to know a love that's fierce. A lion, Aslan. It's not a tame lion. He's not a tame lion. He's good. He's good. In the video, it stated, "We long for your presence and love." There were tangible aspects of love. Love that cares for the stranger. Love that gives blankets. Love that gives juices and brownie mixes to families that can't afford a Christmas dinner. It's tangible. It's tangible. Love that goes beyond 70 times 7, it said in the video. This love pertains to Peter when he asks, "How many times should we forgive?" Forgiveness is an action of love. And really forgiving, not waiting to bring it up when we have an avalanche of wrongs, when you wanted to win an argument, like I stated with me personally. The most poignant part of this video, though, was the way it ended. Emmanuel, God with us. God be with us. Come and be with us. Come and be with us. I think that's one of the most important parts of love, being with others. Hebrews 13:6 says, "For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." If you've ever quoted that verse, raise your hand. Right? "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Matthew 28:20 says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I'm with you always. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus told this to his friends that he had lived with for the past 3 years in Matthew 28. And God himself took on human flesh, fully human and fully divine. He took on the same hurts, the same pains, the same loneliness that we face, but exponentially harder. He had to endure a time when he will shout from the cross, "My God, my God! Why have you forsaken me?" God the Father had to withdraw himself from Jesus in the most painful time that would be faced in all eternity because of the sin that he took on himself for all of us. He would say those words, and that would be the only time that the Father and the Son would ever be apart. Isn't that crazy to think about? He did this so we would never be away from him, so that he could truly fulfill the promise to believers, "I will never leave you or forsake you." I'll tell you the most lonely time I've ever felt took place on the other side of the world. I've shared pieces, but I had never been away from home for more than a day. I was surrounded by people. Have you ever been surrounded by people but you felt so alone? It's not only loneliness, I'm out in a desert where nobody lives. Or I'm out in farm country where there's only two houses. Sometimes you are surrounded by people, but yet can feel so alone. And that's how I felt. Everyone else was connecting with each other, and I wasn't. Now, it was then when I heard the Lord so distinctly like I never heard before. And he said, "If you make me your best friend, if you make Jesus your best friend, right?" He said, I'll bring you friends on this trip. And I did. I began soaking up time with Jesus like I never did before. And I don't know how to say it without sounding cheesy, but he became my best friend. And still is. I remember actually going home and telling my best friend, I said, "I have something to tell you." And I was very serious. And he's like, "What? What's wrong? What happened?" You know? And I said, "Jesus is my best friend." And I know that sounds silly, but there's a reality to it. And a truth that when we make him first, he aligns so much in our life. He heals so much in our life. He makes things better that we couldn't ever put together. we could never do right. And he puts it together. I started realizing with only the aid of the Lord that I don't have to be alone. That really I was never alone. That Jesus always loved me even when I didn't love myself. That like the poem of Footprints in the Sand, he carried me even when I didn't know it. Even when I didn't realize it. Even when I had a poor self-image, I didn't like who I was, and yet I cared so much about what people thought of me. How I looked, how I was perceived. That fear of man. And God was dealing with that on the inside of me, saying, you don't have to be afraid what people think. In fact, I was able to love people more, and I know this is true biblically for you, that if you're in a place where you come to a place where you can say, I love you so much, I don't care what you think. I don't care if you disagree with me. I don't care if you give me a hard time. I'm going to love you more. Because my love doesn't come from your reaction to me. My love comes from him. Him living inside me. He's where I get my self-image. He's where I get my joy. He's where I get my comfort. He's where I get my value of who I am as a person. It's not from Joe Schmo and what they say about me. It comes from him. We as adults struggle with that. Teenagers, just so you know, we struggle with that. It's not just a teenager thing. It's an adult thing. It sneaks up on us. Fear of man can sneak up on you, can't it? Where, you know, you think, oh, I'm good. I don't care what people think. You know, most people that tell me that, I'm like, you are so lying right now. Because, you know, it's like the kid that is saying, I don't love you, Bobby. Well, of course he does. That's why he's so upset. I don't care what you think. Well, I think you do. I think you actually care too much what I think. You need to care more of what he thinks and what he says about you and who you are in Christ. Not what people say about you. Not what your boss says about you. Not what your bank account says about you. But what Christ says about you. And to have that love, to experience that love, it's overwhelming. And there were times where I would lift up my hands in worship and I just began weeping. And sometimes I didn't even know why. Right? In the class that go, oh, guys, don't cry. Well, okay. Whatever. You cannot cry. That's okay. In fact, at that time where I was becoming so close to Jesus, we were in a worship setting, and I just felt the presence of God so on me. I was on my knees, and I began weeping and weeping and weeping. And this young man, he just came and he put his arm around me. You know, I can't tell you his name. I can't. But will I ever forget that he did that? No. I'll probably remember his name in heaven. I'll get to see him. We need to be that for each other. Where we notice moments, it's like the speaker, Heather, she talked about yesterday, Heather Bixler, she talked about the theme, like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken right at the right time, right? God has divine appointments for you to come and put your arm around a sister in Christ or a brother in Christ. To show them that kind of love that they'll never forget. Maybe they'll forget your name. Like I did for this other kid that happened, I don't know, 18 years ago. But it meant so much. I never forgot it. That's what the season of Advent is about. That's what this part of Advent's about, love. Love. Love that surrounds us. Love that says, I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you. And as I shared with you guys, as our home church here, when I received the baptism of the Spirit, not everybody does this. I'm not saying it says this in Acts 3:15, but I roared like a lion, okay? And maybe that's why we named my son Judah. I don't know. I was like that. You know, when I was putting this sermon together, I didn't mean for it to be so introspective, but love is about knowing Emmanuel, knowing how much he values you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many cells are in your body. Our song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, is such a unique Advent song. In fact, I want to end with that song as we distribute communion in just a few moments. But in this hymn, there is Christ's uniquely divine names. Isaiah uses the name Emmanuel, which is from Isaiah 7:14, and Matthew 1:23 will echo its fulfillment. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He comes to rescue captive Israel. He also comes to rescue you and me. In the second verse, Jesus is called Rod of Jesse as a term for Jesus. This is because Jesus will come from the line of David, right? And some lyrics say, O come, the branch of Jesse's tree. And Jesus would do so. He would come from the line of Jesse. Jesus in this Advent hymn will be called Dayspring, as in a reference to a heavenly sunrise. This light would break dark clouds and bring the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We know he is that day spring light. Next in the hymn, Jesus is referenced to as the key of David. And John Wesley explains that the king has the key to unlock all the doors of the palace. There's no door the king cannot go to in his own palace. Now I'd relate this with your home. You ever have your kid lock their own door? And you come banging on the door, you unlock that door! Right? The king has a key to every door. There's no door in the palace that he can't unlock. He's a gentleman, though. I think there are many times where he takes time to say, can I open this? I know this place really hurts. I know this place is filled with deep pain and hurt memories. But I'd like to open up this door. I've already got the key. Can I open this? And in love, he asks us the question. And then we have to respond, yes or no. But if we'll let him open up that door, there's going to be healing that takes place with that love, right? But he holds the key of David. The key of David. And Christ unlocks those doors. And I'm reminded of this passage in Isaiah 22:22 that says, I will place on his shoulders the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Jesus will refer to himself as the gate. He's the way to heaven. And in the sixth verse, he is called the desire of nations. The prophet Haggai, or Haggai, however you say it, will use this verse as a reference to Christ's reign. The Savior, the Messiah, will come, and people will come and bring tribute from all over the world. And they'll give that tribute to him during his millennial reign. This is something that hasn't happened yet. When it says this desire of nations, it's something that will happen at the second advent when he returns. And so people will come and they'll lay treasures at his feet. It says in Revelation that the elders will take their crowns and they'll cast them down at his feet. They'll say, you're worthy. Every tribe, every nation will come represented at the throne of grace. This Advent, him speaking of Emmanuel, is chock full of theology. I love that. Jesus is with us, God incarnate. He comes to have a close relationship with you and with me. He's from the tree or the rod of Jesse, as prophesied. He's the day spring breaking through the darkness. He's the light of the world. He is the key of David. He's Haggai's desire of nations, even though it's not yet completely to be fulfilled. He's love. He draws us to love. He fills us with love. He makes love possible. Gary Chapman, how many of you have heard of the book, The Five Love Languages? Okay. In that book, there's some really great quotes about love, and I want to share with you. He's a strong Christian, and he says this. He said, something in our nature cries out to be loved by another. Isolation is devastating to the human psyche. That is why solitary confinement is considered the cruelest of punishments. Solitary confinement, the cruelest of punishments. How many times do we punish ourselves, right? We get angry at the world and we cut ourselves off from other people and we don't give them a chance to love us. Because we've been hurt before, we say, you know what? The door is shut. The door is shut. And we create our own hurt because we lock people out. because of what happened to us previously. But that's why solitary confinement is considered the cruelest of punishments. He goes on to say, for love, we will climb mountains, cross seas, traverse desert sands, and endure untold hardships. Without love, mountains become unclimbable, seas uncrossable, deserts unbearable, and hardships are a lot in life. Jesus climbed mountains for us. He crossed seas. In fact, he even walked on them. He traversed wilderness areas and he bore unimaginable hardships so that you and I could be in relationship with him. This is the last quote from Gary Chapman. Life's deepest meaning is not found in accomplishments, but in relationships. I think about that with doing a funeral service just recently. People aren't going to go at your funeral, wow, they just had a lot of stuff. I mean, they might if you're a hoarder, okay? That might come up. That might come up. But isn't it about relationships? It's about people. It's about people. It's about who we've influenced for the kingdom eternally. It's about you and I coming into times and moments where we get to pour out Christ's love, whether it's through serving, whether it's through giving, whether it's through quality time spent with one another, whether it's through words of encouragement, all those different ways we can show Christ's love. I want you to think about his love for you. I shared a little bit of my story. When my heart ached and Christ had filled that gap. There's not just a few of those stories in our lives, is there? He does that numerous times in our lives. But take a moment, take just a moment, and I want you to think about when Christ met you in the lonely places, in the places where you needed him the most. Bow your heads for just a second, and again, I'm not going to pray with you, I just want you to think about that moment or those moments. Think how he used others to show that love to you. Just for a moment. It's in these moments, I think, that we find value in what Christ has done for us and who he is. How God brought tangible hands and feet of Jesus through friends, through family. God brought me friends that knew how to listen. He brought me friends that spoke life into me. He brought friends that believed in me and that echoed the words of Christ. Think about when that was done for you. And you can open up your eyes. This Christmas season, we have the opportunity to do that for each other. We have opportunity to have that one with Jesus also, to experience his love and then to share that love. Emmanuel has come into the world. The embodiment of love has come into the world, and he brings the key of David. He destroys the darkness with his dayspring light. He's from the line of Jesse. He's what creation groans for, the restoration of all things. Lord, in this season that can so quickly pass by, where we can so quickly forget to remember and to prepare for Christmas, to prepare our hearts. Our hearts, let them be today filled with hope. Those that need hope today, I pray that you would pour hope out on them. Lord God, those that need your love today, I pray, Lord God, we all need your love. I pray that your love would just be poured out today. Let it be a reminder that you are with me. You haven't left me. You haven't forsaken me. I'm not walking alone. Those are the times you carried me. But I never walked alone. You're always with me. You are Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, as we go today, let us pour out the rest of this coming week. Let us pour out that love to others, friends and neighbors and even enemies and even people that rub us the wrong way and are difficult to love. Help us to love like you do for us, to them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Let it be so. Let it be so. Well, God bless you, and may the Lord be with you.